from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's one of the challenges we have, both at safety and at linebacker, where pivotal pieces that have not been able to rep, whether it be completely from the spring and training camp included, or some cases, a lot of the majority of training camp. So it's a challenge. You know, we'll find our way through it. The biggest challenge is having a player hurt is one thing, but having a new player hurt who doesn't know what we're doing systematically is another challenge. So we're trying to capture every rep we can, just using them and walk through this week, because we're getting closer and closer to the season here.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Injuries piling up. It's the story of the day, really, on the Bills. Week to week for a couple guys, multiple week injuries. Curtis Samuel is one of the guys week to week, turf toe. A little bit of a scare there, as Sal pointed out. That's what Chase Claypool had.
Yeah.
Went from day to day to out for the year.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, that's not great. It's not great for my Curtis Samuel to lead the NFL in receiving yards bet.
That seems like either. A bit of a bold bet. But
yeah.
Samuel, week to week. MVS, multiple weeks. Trubisky, multiple weeks. Quentin Morris, multiple weeks. We still are multiple weeks from the opener. 2 weeks, 5 days. 2 weeks and 2 days until Ravens Chiefs.
Yep.
To open the season. And let me check here. Oh, Arrowhead Stadium. If you've ever seen a game there before. It'll be at Arrowhead Stadium to open the season.
Sweet.
Another one.
Soon they'll have a new stadium.
Maybe. Right? Maybe.
5 to 10 years? Is that soon? That's not soon. It'll be after the Bills Stadium.
We'll get a fly-through of that one next week.
Yeah, right.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning.
It is amazing if these injuries really delay these guys coming back. What they're going to line up with at wide receiver after all these months. Like, from where we entered the offseason, the first day after they lost to the Chiefs, all my hopes and dreams about what they would have ended up at receiver versus what they're going to line up with against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, if Samuel is unavailable,
if he's unavailable,
he's week to week with turf toe,
yep.
Then it's Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Mac Hollins.
And then you're right after that, you're at Tyrell Shavers
and
KJ Hamler.
Yeah. That's not a lot of depth at that position. You know, I saw yesterday the Giants moved money around and opened up $19 million maybe in cap space. And immediately I thought, are they going to trade for Ayuk? Because who needs $15, $17 million in cap space unless you're going to make a big move? But
What would you need it for right now?
I don't know. He still hasn't been traded, and he still hasn't been signed.
Is that ever going to – it's never going to end, right? What actually is going to happen here?
He's
going
to sign.
But there is a there's an actual line of demarcation here, right? Like,
no,
the regular season.
You could just sign after it. You could set
You're
an
extension.
You would
sit out of regular season games?
Sure, right.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. At some point, he and they need to decide if no resolution has been reached. Okay, now what? Is he playing? Are they going to ask him to play? Is he going to tell them, I'm not playing on a one-year contract, fifth-year option? Like, at some point, I think it's not yet, but right, it's within a couple of weeks now, and this has been like a seven-month saga.
Yeah.
It comes down to, all right, no trade, no deal. Like, no contract, no trade has happened. Are you playing for us, or are you sitting out of regular season games? And he'll have to then decide how real he wants to get here with all this.
They open with the Jets, and then go yes. Vikings, Rams, Patriots, Cardinals. By the 49ers Vikings, Rams, standard, Cardinals. That's not exactly a tough schedule.
It's not a murderer's row. Was that first game a primetime game?
It is.
What is it, Sunday night?
I believe so.
Okay. Against the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, it's Monday night. It's the opening Monday night game of the season is Jets at 49ers.
All right. That's pretty good. I think they might be, all of this is maybe the Niners just playing the game because they won't have to play the game, and they really what they want to have happen is him to play his final year without a contract. And that they're all of this is just, hell, we're going to, you know, we'll put this out there in the media and we'll talk to the Steelers and, right, you know, we'll talk contract with you. But really what we really want is you to play the fifth-year option without a contract.
Can I root for that too? Shouldn't we all root for that? If you are someone that wants Brandon Ayuk, that's pretty much the way to get him.
Maybe is the only way to get him.
He plays on a fifth-year option.
Yeah.
And then makes becomes an year. Unrestricted free agent. The Niners could franchise tag him, and they very well might. But if you are someone that thinks that's a good idea, I do. If you're someone that thinks the Bills would spend that money, I do.
Yeah.
Then the way for that to happen, this is Brandon Bean watching that, checking in on that, and hoping. I hope they just force him to play on it, and he plays on it, and then decides he wants to go somewhere and play with a great quarterback. And
by the time he actually would get traded, if it ever got to that point, or were to hit free agency, you would actually be in the ballgame then. Like, now they really can't be, right? Versus if he can, it's almost like, hey, Brandon, if you could delay this a year, Brandon Ayuk, if you could delay this a year, we can come get you. But if you are going to force your way out now, we can't. We're not in the ballgame. But in a year's time, you know, they would tag him, right? They would tag him and trade him.
They would try to do that, but how often has a guy been tagged and traded? A tag means
that's a good question.
He's going to play for you. I mean, the Bills famously tagged and traded Peerless Price, but past that,
okay, right?
Guys that get tagged and traded for compensation, I feel like it's mentioned a lot more than it actually ever happens.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know that I can remember the last time. Like, Le'Veon Bell didn't get traded, right? He just sat out a year.
No, guys usually don't get traded because
if
you have tagged a guy, the tag is not, first off, the guy has to sign the franchise tag. And if he hasn't signed it, then
that's
another element here. You know, if you want this to happen, it's not just Bean. Wouldn't this be another reason that other teams are not willing to make the move? Like, listen, I'll give this guy $30 million, but I don't want to give you
a first round pick
to do it.
Right.
I could just wait a year. And, you know, maybe you decide to keep him, fine, but, I mean, he's absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
He will be at a position and of a spot where the Bills could probably use the help by next year. Add him to this receiver room, and you're talking about an incredible group. Like, when the Bills signed Curtis Samuel,
mm-hmm.
the day they signed him, it was, that's a really nice-looking number two.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I liked him as an idea more than a Gabe Davis.
Right away, this is a better idea, more versatile. This is a great idea at number two.
Yep.
And then, you know, he kind of became the de facto number one, and Keon Coleman is in there as well. Like, great, okay. We'll see how he develops. Maybe the Bills get a look at Coleman for a year and decide, okay, how much more help do we need at this position? So, you know, with Ayuk and all this, I absolutely do think the Bills will spend big money at a position that commands big money again. I don't buy for a single second that what they are doing now is a new approach for them. I think it's a layover. I think it's where they have to live for now, and they will soon move back to where they were, which was paying I mean, they are, actually, as presently constructed, they have one of the most expensive receiving groups in the NFL because they're paying one guy $31 million on the cap to not play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. How do you like this team in the exact same format except the $31 million that's designated to Diggs is going to Ayuk? Would anyone do that? Would you like that? There's your trade for next year.
Yeah.
You take the $31 million cap space and you're like, okay, now it's on him.
Yeah.
Except
a guy that's actually playing for us.
Right. Except, you know, you do that with a big contract, his cap, it will be like $6 million. Because that's how the cap works and move
right.
stuff around and save space if you need to. Anyway, 803-0550. We've talked about the receiving injuries, the receiver injuries, safety, backup quarterback. I want to get to a young quarterback conversation as well. Not Caleb Williams. It's going to be another year for watching the young guys. And one of the guys from last year gets, I think, as much hype as anybody I can remember. And I want to ask you if you think it's worth it because he's exciting, but, you know, still. Butch on the East Side, though, first, as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Good morning, Butch.
Good morning, guys, and thanks so much for taking my call. You know, I love you guys. I love MSG. I love the fans, man. I love you guys as always. You guys have a great show. I've got something to say to you about the quarterbacks, but I wanted to say something about this Ayuk situation. I don't really believe Buffalo go that route. The reason being is the money they're eating right now, I believe they really want to see get through the season. Hopefully we come out on top like we're supposed to and have all that money next year to really just see what we can do and what's available out there on the free agent market next year and plus through the draft. But I really can't see Ayuk. And personally, I'm just speaking about me. I don't throw anybody up under the bus. I really don't throw nobody's character out there like that. But personally, me just me personally, not knowing the guy personally, I just don't believe – I believe he's a head case. I just really do.
What evidence is there of that at all, anywhere?
Now, the reason why is, you know, just like this is about tweeting. It's just like we did about Diggs, about tweeting. You know, when he was in San Francisco, he complained about, I don't want this, I want to go here. They had a couple trades set up for him. They was going to move him. Oh, I don't want to go there. I'm not accepting that trade. I'm not accepting that. And the reason why, don't get me wrong, you have a right to do all of that. But at the same time, it just shows me that, you know, you want to leave, but you don't want to leave. You know, you want your money, and I get that. Go show up, go to work, get your lunch pail, get in there, and go get your money. Be a good employee as well as you want the employer to be well to do. I'm like this, show you there. You already there in San Francisco. You walking around with your bag on your back. You walking around in front of your teammates instead of stay home and get out their face. You rub it in their face while they're working hard and sweat.
His teammates, without a doubt, Butch, his teammates would support him and want him to get paid.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It's nothing about the bag. Get the money. I want you to get the money. But it's the way you go about getting the money. And I believe in this city right now, the culture that we have right now, it's not about just coming in here, rubbing it in our face. Just stay away from the team and then get your money and come on back. As we will open our eyes, but to walk around with us and talk to us while we take it a water break, that's not going to get it. That's just me. Again, I said that's just my opinion.
Well, those are hold-ins instead of hold-outs, which is becoming a little bit more common. I'm sure they are, you know, they put pressure on the team, but too often the player gets criticized for wanting to get paid and the team does not for not paying a player what he's worth.
I understand. But let me just move forward for this right fast. We were talking about the quarterback position, and Jay, both of you guys know, all offseason, and I was hitting on this way before the draft, that I wanted the Buffalo Bills to make a late-round pick and get a player. And my player, you already know, is Kansas City, Joe Milton III. I really believe Buffalo dropped the ball by not drafting him at that time, but it's fine. They have an opportunity when cutdown day come back to get a couple players back in here. We got a couple guys, you know, Anucci and this other guy we just got from Baltimore, and that's cute and all. But at the same time, we got to get him here just to finish the last game. But now when the cutdown day comes, it's a possibility you could get a Kyle Allen, even though he's not that great, but at least he knows the offense, he knows the city, he knows the players. He can come in here and be the backup. But then you still get Joe Milton to come in here and bring him back in here as a number three, and you can groom him. Then you can figure it out how you guys want to do it. As they're going now, Mitch Trubisky, to me, I just really believe both need to go on IR and just be done with it, wipe your hands with the situation. He's not the same guy that he was before. You know, he's supposed to be more steadier, more ahead of the game. To me, he regressed a little bit. But at the same time, I just wish Brandon Bean just go ahead and just clean it all up, You know, we dropped the ball a little bit now. We got a little mess in our face. We got opportunity cleaned up on cut down day. Bring Kyle Allen back in and go get a Joe Milton off the waiver wire. And let these guys go ahead, come in here and back up as number two. And you got your number three. And you got your young kid with a big arm that you can groom to one day be a number two behind Josh Allen. But anyway, again, before, not to be redundant, I love you guys. I love your show. Love MSG. Love WD on the fans. You guys know I definitely love you. And I want you to have an outstanding day. And thanks for taking my call, my friends.
You too, Butch. I'm drafting a quarterback. To me, that makes a lot of sense that they should draft a guy to be the backup. Mm-hmm. I asked Sal. He does not agree. We can disagree on things. I asked if the Bills have signed Mitch Trubisky because he's the best backup quarterback they can have, or if because the job is to be a voice in Josh's ear that he trusts. The last couple backup quarterbacks, I mean, they keep signing his friends. Kyle Allen looked horrible in the preseason, and Sal, his point was, and they kept him around because he never played. He never actually had to play.
Mm-hmm.
My belief is if Allen were to get hurt and miss time, Trubisky might get a half of football before Brandon Bean gets on the phone to try and find a backup quarterback that can play. That is what happened in Minnesota last year when they went out and got Josh Dobbs, who was not great, but
yep.
It's not that unusual to pass over the backup for someone that's on another team, and the Bills did this to the practice squad. It was a long, long time ago. But I don't think that Mitch Trubisky is the best backup they could possibly have. You could say Ryan Tannehill is, but Tannehill might be waiting for a better opportunity. If you draft one, you at least get the idea of the continuity of a guy that's going to be – he'll know the system. He'll know the offense. He's in his third year. He's never played. But he's a backup quarterback. This is the idea when they drafted Jake Fromm, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, didn't work out. But I don't think they would just play Trubisky. First off, he's got to get healthy. The same way that them keeping Kyle Allen on the roster last year, I don't think that tells me anything. He never had to play.
Yeah. I'd like them. Like, he brings up Joe Milton. In theory, big quarterback with a rocket arm that's really raw but could also run. Like, all right. You're getting a very, very, very poor man's version of Josh Allen, right? Like, I don't have to change as much things about my offense, maybe, if I get a guy like that.
Yeah.
But how hard is that to accomplish? I mean, Joe Milton had a nice first preseason game. Do you know what he did in his second preseason game? You know why there's no hype about him this week? He attempted 7 passes. He completed 2 of them and also took 2 sacks and a fumble. So, all right, we didn't get any hype this week because it didn't go well in preseason game number 2, and anyone that watched him in college didn't like him. The only evidence I have at this point that the Bills have gone for that style of quarterback is Cam Inman reporting last year that they made an offer for Trey Lance that was only beat by the Cowboys. And maybe we'd be living a different existence. If Dallas doesn't offer a 5th-round pick, Trey Lance might be a Bill right now and might just be their backup quarterback.
Right.
And that's a... Again, big, athletic, super raw, maybe not trustworthy to be the backup, but it's what do they want? Do they want a guy that can run around and extend plays and create with his legs if he's ever got to go in, or do they want a guy to come in and hand the ball off? Because that's what Kyle Allen was, right? That's what I think Trubisky is. You're going for your game manager type guy. Chris Trapasso's been out here on Twitter banging the drum for, like, why don't you go get Malik Willis, who's the 3rd in Tennessee? Maybe he'll get cut. Maybe they'll do that, because that's another one that's a different type of backup. He's not going to come in and manage the game for you. He's going to come in and scramble around and maybe run for 80 yards while completing 70. The Bills, other than, again, the one report from last year that they wanted Lance, every other move they've made at backup quarterback is now they just kind of want clipboard guy, friends with Allen, coach that's going to come in and manage the game.
On tag and trades, there have been a couple. Thank you. Had a couple point this out on Twitter. Joe writes in that Brian Burns this year, tagged by Carolina, traded to the Giants. That cost a 2nd, a 5th, and a pick swap.
Okay.
L'Jarius Sneed, tagged by the Chiefs, traded to Tennessee for a 3rd. So
that must have been quick.
Yeah.
Because maybe it was like that day that they did that? Because that was very early in the offseason.
Yeah.
Okay. Sneed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's... For me, like the conversation, get back to the conversation about guys that are out for the money. I want to put context on that. The team decides if the reputation of a player gets there. Why would anyone think Brandon Ayuk is a head case because he wants to be paid what he's worth? The reason you think that is because the Niners have not paid him. Why haven't the Bills had anybody like that? Because the Bills pay everybody.
Yeah.
They really do.
They never let it get to that point.
They never let it get to that point. And if they let, in some cases, they let a guy walk, Poyer, and he comes back.
Edmonds.
No, Edmonds. Yeah. Edmonds, they didn't extend.
Right.
He might have wanted more in a long-term contract, but he would have told them, like, they would have told him, like, we're not going to do it. We're not interested.
Right.
This is a case where.
Also, his best year was the year of his fifth-year option. Ayuk has already kind of broke out before. Like, the timeline doesn't match up the same
way. Yeah, but the Bills are a team that extends people. I mean, Jamar Chase going through it in Cincinnati. Why? Cincinnati's a team that doesn't want to pay. CeeDee Lamb going through it in Dallas. Why?
Dallas doesn't want
to
pay.
Why are these Dallas players always talked about like this? It's because the Cowboys organization allows that to happen. The Niners pay everybody, too. They just are actually kind of maybe out of money. They paid McCaffrey. They paid Trent Williams. They pay Bosa.
Oh, that they actually have to pay Trent Williams.
Oh, sorry. Because
he's holding in.
Right.
But they paid Kittle. They pay
everybody.
They gave McCaffrey a pay raise. They paid Debo. Debo's got a massive contract.
Yep.
Well, massive for when he signed it.
I don't know. I mean, you can all approach it how you want. To be told where you're going to work in a league because of a CBA that was negotiated before you were in the league, your salary is completely suppressed for five full seasons as a first round pick, and when you wildly outperform that. If your team pays you, everything's fine. And if the team you're on doesn't pay you, you're the jerk? Like, I'm sorry, no. Brandon Ayuk is not a jerk because he thinks he needs more guarantees than 1 year. His career could end in week six. It could just be over for him. I mean, the Bills have brought in guys that have had success. And, well, let's see if they can rekindle. Chase Claypool had a couple of big seasons. Did Claypool ever get paid? He played his rookie deal, had two good years, and then what? If he had the opportunity to get paid right after that second year, would he have gotten $27 million in the bank? Like, careers are short. And if you're one of the best and other employers, other teams are paying those salaries, then of course you should go for it. Mark and Tonawanda. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, so I was looking it up while I was on hold. I like to blame Brandon Bean in a way here. And so since 2020, the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
They took him in round 4. Since then, They have not taken a receiver in the top three rounds, and I think that's a mistake. I truly do, and that's on Brandon Bean. I think if you want to go for a guy like Ayuk, I'm all for that. Who wouldn't be for that? I mean, he's the best separator in the game. But to see it as we don't need anybody else in your offense becoming just, you know, two dimensions is Josh Allen or Diggs, it clearly hasn't worked. You need weapons for Josh Allen high in these drafts to see if you can hit and get him on these rookie deals. I think that's the answer. I don't think going defense, you know, as long as we got Ayuk, well, we can focus on the defense. No, you need depth. You got to go into Kansas City with healthy wide receivers. And Jeremy, I got a question for you. Just piggybacking off of what you just said. I'm not saying Ayuk's a jerk. I don't think so. I don't know him that well. But I know you defend Diggs. I want an example of what athlete is a jerk to you, or what Buffalo athlete, would you qualify as a jerk? I'm going to have him listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark. My answer would be, I don't care. It doesn't really matter to me. It matters to people in the building. I don't deal with the players individually. I don't have to be in those meetings. I respect that players might rub people the wrong way, but I think we are way too caught up in it. It doesn't matter. Is there a jerk on the Chiefs in the last 5 years? Definitely. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Do they care? Will we care? Is there an auditing process after you win a Super Bowl where they talk about, did you have jerks? I think a lot of it is guy leaves your team, you talk about him like a jerk. You and I were watching. It's just, to me, it's funny. It's funny that we are so obsessed over everybody getting along so well. Yesterday, you and I were out watching Leicester and Tottenham yesterday. You don't have to like soccer. Hold on, this is just a quick point. There's a play and a shot, and the goalie made a save, and the goalie got up and screamed at his center back.
Amazing.
He screamed at him in a way that would have made NFL circles pass out. You would have passed out if you think that Diggs laid into Allen. We took calls for months about how he showed up his quarterback. This goalie in the face of a teammate, unbelievably. And like, how is it today there? Like, it's just Tuesday. It's not a big deal. Conflicts happen. My opinion on this, Mark, as you say this, is we live in an age where 98% of what we consume from the NFL is NFL filtered. Team filtered. So, of course you believe that the players that left were bad, and the players that have come in are all good. And it's not just the Bills, it's everybody. It's all NFL filter. And just win. Right? Just win. Is Ayuk a jerk? I mean, the Niners have won an awful lot of games with him if he is. Mm-hmm. Is Diggs a jerk? Four straight division titles. Antonio Brown is the poster child.
I think he's a jerk.
where did he finish his career? Where did he finish?
Tampa.
With who?
Brady.
Brady. What does Tom Brady think about it? Does he care? Or does he want me to catch the ball, man? Go catch the ball. That's what I need from you.
He might not have cared up until the moment where he was doing jumping jacks shirtless off
sure.
the field.
Like he did, but like he didn't know.
All right.
Like he didn't know that was possible. They went out and got Brown for Brady.
They did win the Super Bowl together.
What have the Jets done? Who'd they go get? They went out and got a guy that's at odds with his own family and is famously pretty tough to take. And why are they doing it? To win a Super Bowl. And if they win a Super Bowl, guess what? Flags fly forever. Like, you get that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's somewhat about, sure, that stuff can matter in that building, and I'm not saying it's completely meaningless, but to me, someone that's going to sit here and talk about how you're going to evaluate moves and getting players. Like, yeah, okay. Why was Diggs a jerk? Because he wanted to win so ferociously? It's become commonplace to say he would keep demanding the ball. Did that ever happen? Does anyone know that that happened? Has anyone ever said that that happened here? Point me to one article where it's quoted that someone said that happened. You won't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Whispers this, whisper that. We got lots of whispers about lots of players. You will not find him saying, I need the ball. Gabe Davis last year made a comment about Well, look what happens when you get me the ball. Mm-hmm. Gabe.
Watkins once famously made a comment about that, didn't
he? Every receiver does. Tom Brady, we played the clip last week saying how important it is to get those guys the ball because they have the hardest job. So, like, guys that want to win, guys that are not afraid to hold truth to power, even if it rubs people the wrong way, like, you do want a little bit of that in your room. He's gone. That's fine. I'm not backing away from that. You're going to back away from great players? Chris Jones, his contract did not come easy for Kansas City. What'd they do? Well, I mean, this guy wants too much money. Of course not. Sign him. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Michael Jordan a jerk?
Yeah,
he's a jerk, right?
And there's a lot of people. I don't know. Right. This is not a rant. I don't really know what it's even getting at.
A-Rod was a jerk.
Sure.
Milan Lucic is a jerk. That's for other reasons, though.
I mean, there's so many Hall of Famers and so many great players and so many levels that, like, push. They push people. Anyway, all right, we're very late. More phone calls if you want. I don't know what we're getting at.
Evan Lazar next.
Yeah.
Drake May.
Shout out to the Patriots a little bit as we go as well. It's Tuesday. Feels like fall. Feels like football, and we're talking about the Bills. That's how it goes. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Decision of Judon saying, get me the hell out of here? Was this a decision of the Patriots saying, get me the hell out of here? Was this decided during the sit-down opt-out at that night that go, hey, we'll try our best, okay? We understand what you're seeing. We feel the same way. We're trying to build a culture. We'll send you out of here. We don't know, but we do know the Atlanta Falcons picked up an incredible player for a third-round pick.
Part of the Patriots offseason, the trade of Matthew Judon. Jeremy and Joe, get some more calls in a moment. Some quarterback ideas, some wide receiver ideas on the phone lines. Right to your calls after we check in with Evan Lazar on the Patriots. Their preseason includes, trading some players and watching a quarterback battle as well. Evan, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Of course, guys. How you doing?
So the Judon deal, is there any bit of a bitter pill now hearing that he's just going to play on that and not sign a new contract? Because the idea was he wanted a contract, and now he's willing to kind of roll the dice with a different team.
Yeah, you know, he had said when he was here that he would play on his current contract. He was just disgruntled about it, and I don't think that's really much of a change in tune, I wouldn't say, from him. But I think the biggest thing that they had to look at with Judon, and this is something that we've been talking about on our shows for months, is Matthew Judon at 32 years old going to be a part of the next great Patriots team? You know, next time the Patriots are truly a playoff contender, is Matthew Judon's window line up with the Patriots contending window? And the answer has always been no to me. So I was a little surprised that we even made it this far with this situation, and maybe the proximity to the start of the regular season almost makes this more of a head scratcher from the outside looking in than it was if, let's say, it happened in March when we kind of knew that this was going to come to a head all the way back then. So as much as it would be great to have Judon on the team for 2024, realistically, they were not going to be a playoff team this way one way or another. So they get another pick for next year and try to add to that war chest for Elliott Wolf.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me. I mean, 32-year-old for a team that's rebuilding, and you got a day two pick for it. But value-wise, quickly, like that was fine, right? Like third-round pick. Like the player might be better than that, but the age and the one-year contract, I feel like third-round pick was about as good as you could do.
Yeah, and you have to also remember that he's coming off a season-ending injury last year, too. He only played really three games. I mean, he played three games in a quarter of the game against Dallas. So it was a situation where a lot of people were projecting like a day three pick, like a fourth or a fifth rounder. So the fact that it came in as a third rounder, people around here were pretty happy about that. I mean, the Patriots were pretty happy about it, I can tell you that. That they were able to get that pick. So they got a desperate team in Atlanta who's trying to win now and is desperate for pass rush, and it sort of worked out in that way for them.
Evan Lazar of Patriots.com. When it comes to the preseason and the next big question, it's about quarterback. And Drake May's performance in that second game, I watched a lot of that game and came away feeling the same way a lot of Patriots fans, I feel like, have come away. And that's, I think he looked pretty good and should get in as soon as possible. He is, of course, facing one of those scenarios, Evan, where it's, do they have enough around him for him to grow in the right way? And where do you land on that?
Yeah, that's the number one question to me right now is if you put him in there behind an offensive line that might have some question marks and a receiving group that's better, I would say, but still not great, you risk the fact that his confidence can be shot. You risk shell shock, you know, if he gets hit a bunch behind that line. And those things are concerning, but I think the one thing that we saw in the preseason game, what we've seen in the last handful of practices too, is that he is himself a difference maker. And I don't know if he's going to be Josh Allen. I'm not trying to say that. I know people in Buffalo right now listening to this are like, listen to this Patriots homer saying he's going to be Josh Allen. But you guys know all well there that when you have a quarterback that has that type of athleticism and arm talent and just the physical traits, and all of a sudden everything around him starts to look a little bit better because he's making the plays, right? And that's a big thing when I look at with Drake May is that this offense is just starving for somebody that's different, you know, someone that has that ability to be dynamic and be a playmaker. And his arm and his deep ball ability and also his mobility, which we saw in that touchdown run and also on some of the scramble plays that he had in the preseason game, they haven't had anything like that in a while around here where you say, okay, that guy is a difference maker in this offense. And maybe everything around him starts to look just a little bit more, I guess, you know, makes more sense. I don't even know what the word is, just like, you know, functional, I think is the best word. He is in there instead of Jacoby Brissett. If Jacoby Brissett plays a lot this season for the Patriots, it's going to look a lot like it has the last couple years on offense. They're going to struggle. If Drake May is in there, it might have some ups and downs because he's a rookie, but at least the ups are going to be a little bit more exciting.
Do you think they will play him early in the season or even week one? Like how far along does he have to go, you think, between now and the next couple of weeks to actually be their week one starter? Or do you even think that's in play?
Well, honestly, I don't think it's really too much in play yet because we haven't really seen it in practice. Like they haven't really had him practice with the ones at all, with ones, against ones. You know, he hasn't really done that. He's had a couple of like walkthrough periods where he'll get snaps from David Andrews, their starting center, but it really hasn't been much. And so, if I just have to go by the eye test now, maybe they're fooling us all, which they did kind of in 2021 with Cam Newton and Mac Jones, honestly. So maybe Jerod Mayo is taking a Bill Belichick lesson here about how to fool the media into thinking that it's, you know, one thing when it's actually another. But in general, I just can't see that in practice. And I would also just say, you know, their opening month to the regular season is a pretty difficult schedule. We have, you know, at Bengals, Seahawks, at Jets, at San Francisco to start the first month of the year. So would it behoove the Patriots to have Drake May hold the clipboard for a month, to watch Jacoby Brissett prepare like a pro for a game and, you know, just kind of go through the motions with Jacoby Brissett for a couple of weeks and then maybe get him in there in the month of October when they have a couple of home games and things like that? That's sort of where I'm trending. I think week five at home against Miami, it's a home game, it's a 1 o'clock game, it's a nice kind of cushiony landing spot for him where you're not feeding him to the wolves right away.
Yeah, four straight home games starting that week.
Nice.
In Miami.
And Evan, they'll see the Bills in like a year.
I'm thinking we should definitely see May by week 16 and 18, right? Because it's weird how that ended up.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. And that's where I've been at with it the whole time. You know, and this was before the draft. So I don't mean to come off as somebody that's just a honk, but like with Drake May, all these pre-draft debates were that he was going to be a project that was going to have to sit for a year or maybe even go the Jordan Love route of sitting multiple years before he was ready to play. And I just never really saw it that way. I thought a lot of his issues that he had in college were what I would call like micro level issues, where they're just little minutiae here and there that with his footwork and his drop back timing and things like that, that like can be fixed, you know, with good coaching and with all the quarterback coaches and private coaches and all that stuff that we have nowadays in the NFL, I really felt like a lot of his footwork issues were going to be fixed in one off season, and that wouldn't be a major concern. So I've always thought that he would start the majority games for the Patriots. Maybe we didn't see that right away in training camp. It was a little bit of a learning curve for him. But now towards the end of camp, we're starting to see it. And if he plays well on Sunday against the Commanders, in that preseason finale, it's going to be awfully tough for Jerod Mayo to keep him off the field.
Thanks, Evan.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
No problem, guys.
Evan Lazar, Patriots.com on the Western Hotline. Quickly, Kevin and Elm before the break. Hey, Kevin.
Yes. Good morning. Hi. I was calling about what Brandon Bean did with the draft. I see Kansas City with Worthy. You win with speed. Now, they had Tyreek Hill at one time. This is what they got now with Worthy. Why didn't Bean draft Worthy instead of Coleman? That was a big mistake.
Well, time will tell on that. I do wonder, though, on that, if Worthy does succeed, you might get a lot that say he still would not have been the right fit for what the Bills wanted. Right? Because wide receiver's about fit. And for what the Bills wanted, they wanted a big guy. They wanted a catch radius guy that could post up a little bit and win. But they want size. They wanted size at the position. So
isn't a natural, obvious, whatever you want, counterpoint to that, that the Chiefs weren't really a fit either? They had just signed Marquise Brown, right?
I don't think you can make a case the Chiefs aren't a fit because the Chiefs think he's a fit. Who would argue? I mean, you're arguing against
them.
Okay,
so then I would say, why don't the Bills think he's a fit?
They didn't like
it. Why do the Chiefs think he's more of a fit for their offense than the Bills would have thought for their offense? Like, to me, that is the reason.
It's the same reason that the Jaguars thought Brian Thomas Jr. was a better idea than Xavier Worthy. The same reason that the Niners thought Ricky Pearsall's a better idea than Keon Coleman. The same idea the Bills thought Coleman's better than Leggett. Like, guys, they're going to like who they like, right? I mean,
I think you just take the better football player.
Well, that's what they did. They took the guy they think is the better football player.
The Chiefs?
Every one of these teams took the guy they think is the better player. Time will tell on who's right.
Are we sure?
The Chiefs think Worthy's better than Coleman.
Right.
The Bills think Coleman's better than Worthy for what they do.
That's what I mean, though, for what they do.
Yeah.
Take that out of it.
You can't take that out of it.
Yeah, you can. If you have a great player, then you make your offense work to that player.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that. I mean, I understand that there's going to be, you should take as many great players as possible, but there's still going to be fits. They're going to be defensive tackles that are not the kind of defensive tackle you want. You know, whether it's a three technique, this technique, that edge rushers. Who's better in a 3-4 versus a 4-3? The Bills run two linebacker sets. A nickel corner. Do I want the best nickel corner in the league if I don't put a nickel corner on the field 90% of the plays? Like, you know, that matters.
But it's not, man. This will be a thing all year for me. If they think Coleman is going to play the role that they've been talking about for him because that is what they wanted for him and they thought he was the best player at that type of stuff, outside, X position, like, I don't know. I think they might have another thing coming.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Steve on the other side, we'll get to your call. Keep rolling here. It's a fall-like Tuesday, a low high today of 65, which could match a record, the lowest high for August 20th. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Hey, good morning. Preseason rolls on. The Bills have no one to play.
Except for Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci is going to play a lot. Steve in Texas on the phone. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. I was checking out the quarterback room in the NFL, and it looks like Atlanta's got three quarterbacks on the roster, and Taylor Heineke is under contract, and he's only on the books this season for 1.4-ish. million. That's I don't think they're going to keep three guys on the roster. Yeah. I know. I mean, he did go toe-to-toe with Brady a few years ago in that playoff game when he was with Washington. I mean, you got to have somebody, but he might be better than Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. One quick thing I find on Heineke, he got paid a $1.3 million roster bonus in March.
Okay.
Which, at the time, Mike Gennetti of Spotrick said, that's proof he's the quarterback too. But then they drafted Michael Penix.
They drafted Michael Penix.
Yeah, so it's a name. He's been better in the league more recently than Kyle Allen or Mitch Trubisky.
3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns, 15 picks.
In his last full season.
In his last full season starting.
All right. 803-0550. I just don't think they would do that until they feel like they have to. Josh would have to actually be hurt Until then, Mitch Trubisky can be the backup while injured. I think the job is to just, you know, kind of be around. They also, as Sal points out, could just like Trubisky. We'll get a break in. And I mentioned that young quarterback. I got to bring that up. And I have also an email, or rather not an email, a tweet about the Vikings schedule and what it means for the Bills. We'll run through that too.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.